Blog Talk Radio. You are in the Inspiration Zone with the Angel Ladies. Join us for half an hour of sparkly conversation, uplifting ideas, and thought-provoking topics, and even some words of wisdom from the angels themselves. You never know what will happen, but it's always a fun-filled adventure. And now, here are your hosts, Deb and Jean, the Angel Ladies. Good evening, everyone. This is Deb.
And Jean.
And we are the Angel Ladies.
Indeed.
We are happy to be with you this evening. It never fails, we had something planned that we were going to talk to you about, and like 10 minutes ago, the angels had to have their little word.
Changed everything.
So Jean was typing furiously, channeling.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not really sure what it's going to be about, but it sounded exciting.
You know, we used to tell people in our workshops, and perhaps we should still warn them, if you're going to work with the angels, be flexible.
Oh, my goodness.
Get ready to change your plans.
I mean, I was an extremely busy parish priest in a large parish in, you know, part of Toronto. And I think since I have been working with the angels, I have never been busier. It's all good. But boy, it you know, waking up at 4 a.m. with, remember those days, sort of waking up at 4 a.m. with an angel message and sharing it the next day, and oh, the angels got me up, and then we kind of told them that, you know, we really did need sleep.
That's right.
So, you know, we've
cool
got
it.
Cool it. Daylight hours are good too, angels. So, you know, we'll make time, and that was part of it. That's what the angels advise everybody, is to make time every day to connect. If you're not listening to the angels, then just, you know, hold the world in your prayers and send love everywhere and bless
breathe,
it.
Breathe, be.
Yes, breathe and be.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate.
Yeah. So, here we are. We're happy that you're joining us this evening or maybe on the archive. Make sure that you tell your friends about us, too. We always love to get email and new people on the Facebook page. So, Jean, what are the angels telling you about balancing our life tasks?
Well, they said that the image that they gave us was the tightrope.
Yes.
And I think that's an image that probably every mom working in or outside the home recognizes. Well, pretty much everybody, I would think, children notwithstanding.
Mm-hmm.
It is a busy world.
Mm-hmm.
It is an incredibly busy world.
I like the spinning plate metaphor for your keeping everything spinning before they fall off. But, yeah, tightrope is, I mean, we had that fellow Nick Willenda, was it, who was here in Niagara Falls just this summer, crossing over the falls, which was just incredible. And the whole time he's praying. He's praising and praying, which I thought was quite interesting. But the confidence and the courage it takes, I mean, that's a literal version of a tightrope walker. But in our lives, we have busy lives. The phone, everybody's got a phone in their pocket. You can't get away from the email or the people that want you or the family or our job.
It's as though everyone has become social media OCD.
Yeah.
They can't do anything, go anywhere without checking a text, checking a phone call, checking a message, checking the tweet, checking Facebook, checking LinkedIn, checking Tumblr, checking Pinterest, checking, you know, oh, please.
Well, we're so afraid we're going to miss something.
I would like to miss a good deal.
I have a fairly high fly zone over my head. But we've 10 years ago, this was not an issue. 15 years ago, you know, when I think we spent a lot of time in front of the television, perhaps, but now I spend a lot of time in front of my computer. Facebook is always on. And it's
created a society of triviality.
Yes.
You know, the Twittering and the Facebook. You know, I mean, really, do I need to see what you're eating tonight?
Well, and I'm guilty of that, too. I'll say, hey, we're having chili for dinner, and, you know. And there's an intimacy.
I can't tell you how many pictures I look. How many of my friends are posting their meals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go out somewhere special to a restaurant. And, you know, I think it's a whole new way of relating. It's a way of building community that we have not known before, because I certainly have people in my Facebook that I've never met. But we've become really good friends, you know, friends in the sense of we care about each other. We, you know, if they're not online for a few days, it's like, I haven't heard so-and-so for a while. I wonder what's going on.
It does get to the point, though, that you have a list that is so long,
mm-hmm.
with so many people on it, that how can you keep up with everyone?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't. And that's what was happening more and more with people. We're getting so tired out. We're getting to the point where we're burning out, because we just cannot keep the pace. And it to me, it is the plate, it's the spinning plate.
Mm-hmm.
But the tightrope is a good image, too, where, you know, if you miss your step, you're going to fall off. And if you don't have a net, you're going to crash.
Mm-hmm. So they gave us this particular image. And what we're trying to balance and struggling with it. Yeah, I mean, it's common to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We've all got the daily task,
mm-hmm.
you know, earning your living, taking care of your house, your car, your family,
mm-hmm.
you know, feeding the dog, cutting the grass. There are so many things that take time in our lives, not even to mention all that internet stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, the social media.
Well, that's true, too. Commuting to work, dropping off the kids, you know, extracurricular activities. It's, everybody's got a different set of things on their to-do list. I was complaining on Facebook the other day that I needed a to-do list for my to-do list. And somebody wrote back and said that her father had a great thing. That when the first thing he ever put on his to-do list was make a to-do list, so he could check that off right away.
Yeah, sense of accomplishment.
I think so. We need that. So we have this life that we're trying to balance.
It's insane. And then we want to develop our spirituality, develop our gifts and talents and attributes. And when are we going to do that? I can remember, who was I speaking with? And it was a mom. We're going back a ways when I was teaching. It was a mother, and she was concerned. Her child was in trouble at school. And so in the conference, I asked her, you know, what is your child responsible for at home? We're talking a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, homework and studying. I said, chores? What does he, you know, what is his contribution to the family? Because parents don't like to hear, do you make your kid do chores? That sounds, oh, my God, so horrible. You know, so what is your child's contribution to the family? And nothing.
Nothing.
He spends an hour playing, an hour doing homework, and the rest of the time, you know, he's a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, excuse me. You know, if we want to, you know, we want to revere the olden days, well, fine. In the olden days, kids worked. If they had an hour and a half of leisure in the day, they were lucky.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The rest of their day was working. And we consider that, you know, horrendous. But when was the last time you had an hour and a half to do whatever you wanted, free and clear, your time?
That's a good question, as people are listening. You know, when was the last time you had an hour and a half?
For you.
Nobody
wanting anything. Nobody needing anything. If the phone rang, it was not for you. Someone came to the door, it did not involve you. It was your time.
I have a word for that. It's called a nap.
Out of commission.
I am incommunicado. I am sleeping. Thank you.
Our ancestors, the pioneer folk,
mm-hmm.
had more leisure than we do.
I believe that. Even when they're out in the clearing the fields and making their homes and
churning that butter?
Churning that butter. Well, because our time is so filled. And we get very frustrated with ourselves because we've run out of time. We've run out of time in the day, and there's all these things that we wanted to accomplish that we didn't, or things that we meant to do or forgot. And we just, every day, we kind of lose a little bit of step. We lose a little bit more.
Now, as you're speaking about all the things that fill our day,
mm-hmm.
the angels are giving me the image of pouring out a bucket of sand. There's all our stuff.
Mm.
Sand. A lot of it. But grains of sand.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because many
so much
things...
of our life is filled with details and tasks that we attach importance to
mm-hmm.
without the importance actually being there.
Mm-hmm.
And all this takes time away from our mission. And we have forgotten. We have a mission, each of us. A life purpose, something that we're here to do. And it might be our dream, but it might not be our dream. And that was news to me.
Yeah.
I thought that whatever our dream was would be our mission, our life purpose. But they're using mission in a different sense and dream in a different sense as well. Excuse me, I'm being distracted by a four-legged fellow here.
Mm-hmm.
They're using it in a different sentence. They're saying that our mission is our spiritual goal,
mm.
our spiritual message
mm.
that we are here to do. It's our path. It's our activism. What are we doing to promote our spiritual message? They're laughing, they're saying. They're telling me that sharing on Facebook is not activism.
Well, those graphics about, you know, raising consciousness, that's not part of the purpose?
It's helpful, but it that is, you know, there is a greater degree of activism that is called for.
So what are they asking us to do then?
You mean angel ladies?
No. I mean, what is the spiritual message for people? If it's not our mission, if it's not our life purpose, or is that what the life purpose is? I'm trying to get my head around this.
Okay, we've got two different things. We have our mission and our spiritual mission and our personal life purpose is what I'm getting.
Oh, okay.
That as Jean, I'm here to develop myself as a writer, and that will support me on my spiritual path,
mm-hmm.
my spiritual mission. But my spiritual mission is not to write, say, the romance novel. That's something that I like to do. It's fun, you know. I'm enjoying it, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not my spiritual purpose.
Gotcha.
You know, they're saying that we may have many dreams in the course of a lifetime.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
Because as we grow and develop, depending which way our free will takes us, you know, other things may become important as society develops
mm-hmm.
and creates advances. I mean, there are people now who are, you know, their dream is to connect the whole world via Twitter, and that's important to them,
yes.
you know, or to do YouTube videos, you know, that's important to them. That's a dream that would not have been available 70 years ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even 40 years ago, or 30 or 20 maybe, depending on how the person's life has gone. You know, I mean, YouTube never meant anything to me. But now I see it as a vehicle by which we can get our message out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so as we grow and develop personally, other things can come to play that may become a, quote, dream. And that will support us in our life purpose, but which is separate. And the same thing with the writing.
Mm-hmm.
I was chided. I don't know if I told you this, but a friend for whom I did a reading chided me when she discovered that I was writing a fiction book, a romance novel.
Really?
She said smut was what I was writing. And I needed to be writing spiritual things. And I was highly insulted, you
well,
know,
yes.
because she hasn't read the book. The book is not...
The book is wonderful. It's
and
fun.
And it's clean.
And it's light.
you
yes.
know, your granddaughter could read it.
They kiss. That's about
you know,
it. Yeah.
That's all Poor God, that's all they do is kiss. It's pretty sweet. as romances go.
Yes.
But the point of view, I mean, the book is actually, well, I don't want to give much away, but it has a very spiritual undertone to
yes.
it. You know, for those who have an ear to hear and an eye to see,
mm-hmm.
there is a highly spiritual component to the book, which is written in the guise of fiction, which it is, and it's a story, which I love to tell stories. But I was mindful of the fact that I'm creating something that people will spend hours on, and it has to be worthy.
Well, when you think about it, you know, I guess it's true for everybody. When we do something that brings us a personal satisfaction, whether you're writing fiction or whether you're writing a spiritual book, of, you know, about the angels or prosperity or whatever, it's coming from you. And your basic view of the world
mm-hmm.
is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You see everything through the eyes of spirit. So that's going to reflect in everything you do. And so I think that whatever we do personally, no matter who we are, if we have a goal, if we have a project, if we are working on something, it's going to reflect who we are at our core. You can't write pornography if you're, you know, Sally Fields playing Gidget. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't
true
work.
That.
So
true that.
But that's an interesting distinction. So we have our life tasks, which are earning the living, taking care of our family, working on our dream,
which is my writing a book, and it's informed and it's supported
mm-hmm.
by my mission, you know, to serve, love, etc. But my mission is not to write romance novels. My mission is to get the teachings of the spirit of love out,
yeah.
which are very simple and plain, but people need encouragement,
yeah.
you know, and they need to know how much they are loved and how worthy of love we all are. We're so used to hearing how unworthy we are and what's wrong with us. You know, so I mean, there's the mission
yes.
as opposed to the dream.
Yes.
And that dream may change. It may be that, I mean, as we develop ourselves personally,
mm-hmm.
we uncover little talents and gifts and interests and skills. It may be that I now have a dream that I want to open a little boutique and sell beautiful polymer clay angel pendants. Okay. And that's a dream, and it's supported by and upheld by the mission, and it supports and upholds the mission, but the mission is not to sell polymer clay medallions. You see the difference? As much as I get it, you know, there's a juggling act that we have to do so that our day-to-day schedule doesn't overwhelm our mission. And bury it.
It's easy to happen.
It happens more than not, I believe.
Yeah. And that's part of, you can understand why people kind of withdraw a bit sometimes when they have something that's very deep to express.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're writing a book or they're working on something that is in line with their mission, their life purpose. And so they do withdraw. They do tend to take a back step and put up some walls sometimes so that they can focus. And because the world is too much with us at times. So I can see the merit of being a hermit or going on retreat or,
mm-hmm.
or you know, saying, I've got a friend every Lent, she leaves Facebook. She just doesn't go online to Facebook anyway. She has to use her computer at work. But she just, you know, I need to retreat from this for a while. I love you all, but I'll see you in 40 days. And that's, I would find that difficult. And I don't know why. I have to question myself about that. What?
I have nothing to say about that.
I noticed.
But I did read just the other day about, oh, I don't know who it was, someone whose name I should have recognized, turns off the computer every Sunday. No computer.
Yeah.
No email, no Twitter, no Facebook, one day a week.
I think that is a brilliant idea. It's like a fast. It's an electronic fast.
Society makes it hard to turn off. Society is very good about giving us rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, must see TV. You know, the seminar you have to attend, the concert you have to hear, you know, don't miss this event. They're very good at creating a sense of a false sense of urgency around things that really are a shrug, if you get right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have some friends who are in the baby way of things, who have young babies. And I was, we're going back a little bit here too, but she was planning to nurse her child, as many moms do. And that's a wonderful thing, whether you use a bottle or you. It's, you know, when, and someone came into the conversation who was very, who had very strong ideas about how best to accomplish that, and when and where and for how long. Like, you know, excuse me, you've given this child life, you know. You want to make up a few bottles and take the afternoon off to be with your husband or your girlfriends or your sister or your mom? I can't think of anything a new mom might need more than time away from the baby.
Yeah.
You know, and here's this woman being all, what if the child, you know, excuse me, you know, it's a mean, cruel world. We're going to have to learn to deal with no. We're going to have to learn to deal with not yet. And those are actually points of power. The quicker a kid learns to self-soothe, the happier that kid's going to be. And it's not going to traumatize them for all their life because they had to deal with a bottle one afternoon. You know, I mean, get real. But society is very good at telling us what we have to do and piling on all these expectations until we end up with, so many of them end up being on the mother of a family. Everything becomes your job.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter that the kids are more than capable of, you know, cracking open a couple of cans or, you know, making some rice or craft dinner or whatever, you know. It's your job. You have to. You know, and if child wants to do this or that, it must. It must happen. It must happen. I must see to it. You know, oh, please. You know, there's a whole big charity on TV because not all kids can afford extracurricular activities. Well, God forbid a child should be deprived of something because the family is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, please. I'm sorry. I find that, like, no offense to anyone, but to me, that is just not a charity that speaks to my heart. You know, if the family is struggling, maybe the child can help in some way. Ever hear of a paper route? You know?
Oh, that's true, too. That's extracurricular activity.
Well, but, I mean, the idea is this culture of yes, 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 you want it, you must have it. Maybe the idea is to teach the child you want it, find a way to have it, get a paper route and pay for it yourself because mom and dad can't do it. We're sorry, sweetie. Or start a neighborhood club and play with them or play with your brother or, you know, there are so many other ways to do things.
Sure, you're going back to when, you know, that's really my generational thinking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's my generation that's created this tribe kids that and but you know even society is training that way too.
Sweat when I was 12. My child will never sweat. I mean, what is we've gone off track there, and because we've all upheld each other in that, we've created a generation of moms and grandmothers who have no time for anything. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're denying in ourselves, we're denying in our children.
Yeah.
Because they're going to grow up believing they have to do the same thing. And so we're teaching our daughters that, you know, when you become a mom, honey, you're going to have to do everything for your child and your family, and they can't do anything apart from you. And this is ridiculous. The angel said what we have to keep in mind is the truth of the self and the truth of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that. What you want and what you need, your purpose and your dream is important, just as every other person has a purpose and a dream. And when we say, I will do this, I will make sure that you get your purpose and dream, then we're taking time from our own. And we're denying them the opportunity to make their dream happen, to learn their lesson, to progress as well on their own soul journey.
Well, and as you're talking, I'm thinking a lot of people are going to be thinking, well, too late for me. You know, I'm a grandmother or I've reached a stage in my life where, you know, I just, you know, my dreams, the things that that I think have to do with my mission, my life purpose, I've just, you know, it's passed me by. The angels have told us time and time again that it's never too late. There's always something. We've come to this planet for a purpose, and there's all the fullness of time at our disposal. So not to panic and not to feel trapped and not to feel sad that whatever it was that was in your heart has passed you by, because it hasn't. It hasn't. There's, you know, angels being outside of time and space. Sometimes I rattle on at them like, well, yeah, you guys are outside of time and space. We're dealing with a very finite timeline here, and I ain't getting any younger. And they just laugh.
Remember,
they laugh at me a lot, Jean. The angels laugh at me. What's
but
that?
There is a reason for everything to happen at the time it happened.
Indeed.
If you are getting a late start, then perhaps the reason for that is that you are going to be the example to others, so they don't miss the boat for their own dream.
Well, exactly.
And if you're getting a really early start,
good
then
point.
Perhaps part of it is that you are the model for others who may think that they don't have enough experience, they don't have enough life knowledge or wisdom to get there and do their work.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever we are is the time for us, and it's the time that we've chosen, pre-selected.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to make it a priority. We have to, and the angels are saying, we have to be disciplined. We have to recognize as we're dumping the bucket, which is sand and which is diamond.
Yeah.
You know, spend time with the diamond activities, but the sand activities, delegate, you know. We have to let go the idea that we have to do everything ourselves, that nobody could do it as well as we.
That really is a lie that we tell ourselves.
Well,
and part of it is just to make ourselves feel better.
Or to shut other people up.
Or just do it faster because we can anyway.
You know, or, well, you know, that's the problem. That really is because we're denying others. You know, I mean, and I come from this as a teacher. I know it is so much easier to just jump in and do it instead of watching a child laboriously cut a piece when we'd be doing activities at school. But the child will never learn how to cut paper better if the child doesn't get experience in, oh, yeah, cutting paper.
True.
You know, so there's a time for patience. But the thing for us to recognize, the angel is saying, when we come to this balancing act, is to be deliberate in our choice of how we spend our time.
Yeah.
They're saying that we operate by default, and we do that, we give up our power. Now, those of us who've been on those who've joined us on our prosperity workshop that's just concluding tomorrow, we've talked about, in fact, that was today's lesson, I believe,
mm-hmm.
was about creating deliberately.
Yes.
But the idea of being deliberate in our life, being intentional in our living.
Very true. We live so much by default.
That's right. We don't choose what we're going to do. We don't think about what we're doing because we're doing four things at the same time. So none of them get our full attention, and it is not conducive to spirituality. It is not conducive to peaceful living. It is not conducive to getting it all done.
That's true.
Because what happens is the time that we end up with that we've saved gets, you know, spent on more sand. Unless we're deliberate.
The sands of the hourglass.
So prioritizing, discipline, intention. Yes. I'll put it on my to-do list, angels.
Well, that's an earful from totally... totally different than what we had originally.
Yeah, and that's
scheduled.
Only the half of it. The second half of this is for you and me. I have a feeling we're going to get some marching orders later tonight.
Okay. Well,
yeah, that'll be fun.
I always, you know,
always fun to get marching angels orders from the angels.
But I love talking to the angels. I love the angels in our lives. And
can
we are grateful.
Can you consolidate some of that angel message? Can you?
No. We've only got a minute left.
Oh.
And
pick out something from it.
I think it's time to wrap up.
Angels, what thought can we leave them with?
Ah.
They're saying, you are blessed and you are loved. You know it. Now see it and appreciate it. Okay, angels.
Good word. Thank you, angels.
Thank you, angels.
And thank you for listening.
Yes, indeed.
We will see you, or you'll hear us again next
week, same time, same place. In the meantime, www.theangelladies.com. Get the newsletter or find us on Facebook. And we will see you next Monday evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
for joining us today on our program. If you'd like to learn more about the Angel Ladies and the products and services we offer, just visit our website at theangelladies.com. You'll find a link to subscribe to our mailing list and an invitation to join us on our Facebook page. You can hear The Angel Lady Show every Monday at 8 p.m. or anytime on the archive. Until next time, may you walk with angels and may you be blessed.